Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. You have found us, you've liked, you've subscribed, you've followed us along for whether it's been a week, a year, a decade, or almost two decades. Yeah, we've been around a long time, but it's great to see everybody. I got Jeff and Rebecca. Wow.
Speak for yourself, Larry.
What? It's
two decades?
I was reflecting. The show is coming up on almost 20 years old. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. So, of course, you know, it used to be Major Nelson Radio. We renamed it to the official Xbox podcast. But, you know, cast members have changed. Some, unfortunately, have passed away. But we're all here, and here we go.
Woof. Raw.
How's that to bring it down? Let's see.
Let's see if we go.
Let's see if we can bring it down.
Well, surviving members.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Rebecca, it's good to see you from New York over there and whatnot. And Jeff always, as always.
And you, whatnot. You know, New York and whatnot.
Rebecca, Jeff and I actually had lunch yesterday. We were in the office, which was a rarity that he and I were in at the same time. So that was kind of.
Don't make me jealous.
it was fun. It was nice to be in there together. And then, of course, there were other people in the office as well. But it was just always good to have those serendipitous, hey, Jeff, you want to go to lunch? Okay. And off we went. So, but.
Yeah, I miss
your
that.
Halal guys is better too. So, you know, you have like the real halal guys, like off of a cart, and you know,
we have a franchise.
So,
anyway,
just one of the halal, it's just halal guy. There's just one of them.
Want to get into? We got some interviews this week. We're going to touch on those in just a little bit. A little bit of gameplay that we're going to talk about. Jeff, we are recording this a few days before, but you're headed to Los Angeles, like. This evening, if depending upon when you're listening to this, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're doing a really cool theater event for As Dusk Falls. We're going to have our guest that'll be here later on, Caroline Marshall from Interior Night. So As Dusk Falls, I've been playing a little bit of it. We'll get into it a little bit more. For a narrative game, the multiplayer aspects are really, really cool. And so I've been sitting down playing it with my wife. And making decisions together, finding out a lot about each other. And so we had an idea of like, well, what if we played with a lot more? You could actually play with up to 8 people on a sofa. You can play through Twitch and have the chat help determine what the decisions are going to make. You can play online through the Xbox network and, you know, just play like a multiplayer game. And so we're bringing it together and play it in front of a theater as the decisions are made in real time. I'm sure there'll be lots of boos and ahs and, you know, do this. And so it should be really fun. It's hosted by Kinda Funny. I get to meet Snowbike Mike for the first time.
Oh, say hello to him for me.
I've been talking to him for years and we've never met. So he's at least 7 feet tall.
Well, Snowbike Mike and whoever everybody else, if you go to this event and you do see and or meet Jeff, he is taller in real life. A lot of people are like, I didn't realize you were this tall. You are a wee bit on the tall side, Jeff.
Yeah. People are like, oh, I thought you were short. And I'm like, I got some short guy energy.
Whatever that is. But yeah, we're looking forward to hearing more about that. And you meeting the team. Yeah. And I've been playing a little bit of As Dusk Falls. Rebecca, have you had a chance to play it?
No, not yet. But I really want to. It looks really good. And I mean, just the idea of being able to play with friends who maybe don't normally play video games is very exciting.
Well, that's an interesting point in that, Jeff, you kind of alluded to that, is that you can play it multiple ways. You don't need to have a controller. You can play it with a device. You can play it with an iPad. You can play it with a Fire, basically anything that can, I think, open up a browser or has an app there. And it's interactive. It's you know, where you're choosing how the story should go. And this story takes some, you know, depending upon who's playing, takes some very interesting turns. Jeff, you and I were talking yesterday. You got a completely different ending than I did in one area.
Just in one chapter. Yeah, there were life and death decisions, and you can go back and you can see where the path branched, and it branched so many different ways. It's not like, oh, you can go left or you can go right. Let's see what it, did you get this ending or that ending? And it's like, no, there are, I think, and Caroline will talk more about it, but like almost every like 20 seconds, you're making some decision. Some are more minor, some are incredibly consequential, and you know, life and death. And it's really interesting, especially as you're making these decisions with other people and you're like, wait, you would do what? And and I think that's part of it, is like the metagame is like learning about the people that are sitting next to you or that you're playing with online or learning about your chat, and which I imagine will be Anonymous, I have imagined that the choices will be choosing violence every time possible. Yeah. But that's what's going to be fun to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I played like the Telltale, you know, narrative adventure games where you kind of choose your own path. But at least for like, I played a lot of like The Walking Dead with the Telltale Walking Dead. And the first like couple seasons, I think it didn't really feel like, you know, you could make certain decisions, but it would all generally end up back in the same sort of with consequence or whatever. But yeah, it's really interesting that As Dusk Falls is like actually really branching out. Like, do you think it's going to branch back to like a certain point at some point where like everyone kind of generally has the same conclusion, or is it just truly like branching off?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I guess we'll find out it will be significantly more divergent. And I think what we need to do is at some point have like a spoiler cast and talk about when we get to the end, what happened for you? Because already very early on, I was like, you did what?
And I was like, why didn't you do that? Yeah, we were kind of trying to pushing at each other for why we didn't make certain decisions. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, and we'll see this later on, and I don't want to give too much away at the interview, but Caroline talks about at the end of the chapter, you kind of get a summary of what your choices meant. You know, you make quick decisions, or, you know, you side with your family and so forth. So you'll see a little bit of that when Jeff's doing the interview. So talk about that later. So that comes out next week, right, Jeff, on Game Pass?
Yeah, July 19th is a busy day because also Forza Horizon's Hot Wheels update, Forza Horizon 5's Hot Wheels update will be out also on the 19th. We'll be able to talk about that in next week's show. Very excited to be able to discuss that and to play that. And Playground knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting. And we'll just save that for next week.
Fun week. We've got Jeff, what else have you been playing? I want to go to what I'm doing, then we'll go over to you, Rebecca. But Jeff, what's your week of gaming been looking like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I said last week I was going to finish Yakuza 5, and indeed I did. And now I only have one last Yakuza game, Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, which I have never played. I'm saving it, I think, maybe for Christmas.
That's your present?
The Song of Life. It's the Circle of Life. I'm assuming Simba comes out at some point, and, you know, Scar is killed by Kazuma or Majima. With the eye, it would be Majima. Anyway, so we'll see. But I'm saying it's, again, pacing it out, knowing that, because I don't want to finish. I don't want to finish this series. And I loved 5, but no rush to get to the next one. So finished that, and then went back into Trek to Yomi, which I'm about halfway through. And I thought,
good, because I know Phil's going to ask you about that the next time we see.
We did. So I ran into Phil yesterday. We talked about that. And then he had recommended to me Road 96.
Yeah,
and Road 96 is really interesting. It just came out on Game Pass last week. Have you played it?
No.
Rebecca?
No, I haven't played it.
No, what is it? I saw it on the Game Pass section, but yeah, what is it?
It's an interesting narrative game where in this world, it's an alternate universe world, takes place in 1996 in some country. It looks like the desert Southwest, but it's not the US. And teens are trying to escape this regime. I don't really know exactly what's going on because I haven't uncovered that yet. But you're basically sort of like trying to get across the border, and you're encountering people as you go, and the conversations that you have sort of presumably will impact what happens. And then after you complete a run and get that character across the border, you will then do it again with somebody else, and you'll run into some of those same people, but they will be changed by their interactions the first time through.
So is it story-based, like we were talking about?
It is. It's story-based. You're choosing sort of what you do. And so like first I was driving and I ran into a very prominent like tabloid reporter who was on the side of the road. Their limo broke down and ended up getting in the car. Had a completely bizarro interaction with them. And then I had to crash for a night at a campground, and I ended up meeting somebody there and had an interesting interaction there. And meanwhile, you're sort of like, there are certain things that you do that will increase or decrease your health bar.
Sure.
And so you have a limited amount of money, and I ended up cracking a safe and getting some money, and I was able to use that to, you know, buy granola protein bars.
So it's an RPG story game? I'm a little...
I, it, You know what? It's on Game Pass. Try it out. Like, very quickly, I was just like, it's a narrative game. You're making decisions.
Right.
Very different than As Dusk Falls. Only very superficially would they be similar in that they're both story games and they both seem to take place in an arid area. But other than that, quite a bit different. And I watched the trailer and like the first minute of the trailer is like, oh, this seems like a very heartwarming game. And then the second minute of the trailer was like, this is nothing like what I expected.
Takes a turn.
Yeah. So, check it out. Road 96.
Like one of those Bollywood movies you were watching that you were telling me about.
RRR. It's a, never seen anything like
that. Oh, I heard about that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's a 3-hour movie. It has an intermission. I watched the first 90 minutes and we'll pick it up. Well, it better be tonight because I'm going to LA. But I will say that I have not consumed a lot of South Asian content in general. And I would say I'm starting to become, like with Ms. Marvel, which I've been watching and being introduced to Pakistani cast that's talking about the era when Pakistan was divided off by the English from India by England. Yeah. And all that. These are just things that I don't think we really see a lot in American pop culture. So that's
or history really for that and, matter.
It's definitely not focused upon. We definitely have a very Eurocentric view of things. And so I'm just learning a lot. I ended up like going down a Wikipedia hole, looking up all these different things. And then RRR is a movie. I don't know if it's Bollywood or not. I don't know if there's a set definition of that, but it's definitely made in India, taking place in a colonial era about 100 years ago. And it is just like, I'm like, I've never seen a movie like this. And so definitely worth checking it out. It's on Netflix.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. Rebecca, what have you been playing this week? Have you had a chance to... Now, last we checked with you, you were flipping houses or in the process of starting to flip houses.
Yeah. So I've still been playing House Flipper, not a ton. So I got really frustrated because there was this one house I was working on and I don't know, some of the renovations, it's just very like menial tasks, like very small things. So like for one of them, it was like, you need to repair all of the broken outlets. But then like some of the outlets are like hidden behind cabinets and stuff. And so then I have to like rearrange everything in the room and you can't, like the room is small and cramped. And
I had to feels like busy work, does it?
Yeah. So it's starting to fall off for me a little bit. I also like, I got kind of salty because I bought wallpaper, but I don't have the right tools to I bought wallpaper for my home, but I don't have the right tools to install the wallpaper. So I spent all this time picking out the right wallpaper that I can afford, but I can't install it. So yeah.
That's kind of the homeowner's conundrum, which is you never take one trip to Home Depot or Lowe's. You always have multiple, right? So yeah. It's kind of like that.
That's so true. Yeah. But I haven't given up on it yet. I'm going to keep playing it this week. And then I downloaded from Xbox Game Pass a very interesting looking game called Omori, Omori.
Yep.
So it's, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's top down. The visuals kind of remind me of like sort of like 3DS era games where you're kind of like moving in like a very like blocky world.
The main character looks like one of the characters from Gorillaz. I was just looking at it. If you look at it.
Yeah. Similar. So I haven't gotten too far in it yet. I know that it's like a turn-based. I thought for a second that you like accidentally went full screen on yourself instead of me. I was like, okay.
Wow. That's
oh, sorry. We'll get right back to you. There you go. Sorry.
Thank you. No, but so it's turn-based. It's a JRPG. Kind of, but you're basically like controlling this one boy, and he has different interactions with other children, and it's in kind of a fantastical, eerie world. Like there's just so many like random little things. Like I went to go visit with some friends and there was literally just a tentacle sticking out of the ground, and I went over and I clicked on it, just said there was a tentacle sticking out of the ground. It's very Japanese, and so I was like, okay. So I'm still figuring that one out. If anyone who's listening to this has played, I would love to know your thoughts on the game because it has really good reviews, but it hasn't really drawn me in yet. But anyway,
so hit Rebecca. Up
I just
on
can't
her
believe
social.
You know about a turn-based JRPG and you beat me to it. Like,
go. Maybe we should have you play this one instead. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. This is great.
Last, I also just wanted to mention too, I started jumping back into Cuphead. Just, you know, we've been talking about it the last couple episodes.
And Miss Chalice and the last course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just started over from scratch on aisle one. And I've just been, it's honestly such a really well done game. And I've been playing it in couch co-op a lot. And it's so nice to be able to just pick up a controller with the person next to you and just play something. Especially like, I feel like I'm not as good as I used to be. So it's nice having the option to pick simple difficulty instead of, like they say, simple instead of easy also.
Right.
Nice. But yeah, so it's been a few different things this week. What about you, Larry?
Well, it's funny, you know, I talked about As Dust Falls, which I've been playing a little bit. I'm just kind of looking at what because I play so many, I'm just trying to figure out what I have up here on the screen. I've got, where'd they go? Oh, you know, it's funny, Phil was pulling me into Elder Scrolls Online. So like, do you have it downloaded? So I downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. So I've got to get into. I mean, I've been kind of going through and spending a lot of time in As Dusk Falls, to be honest with you. That's been, I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I went back to Death's Door because I really liked it.
Oh, yeah.
But I hit a wall and it got really hard. So I kind of, you know, one of those things where you walk away from it a little while and come back. And then usually you get it past the boss or that section in one or two tries. Just needed to clear my head. So that's what I've been doing. A little bit of Fall Guys, of course.
When is the, because I know that we just showed the trailer for ESO, I think it's like High Isle of the Bretons or something like that. Do you know when that one's coming out?
That one's out now.
I think
now.
It may be out. Yeah.
That's what Phil was playing.
Phil brought that out to me, too. Okay.
That's where it comes from.
For next week, yeah.
But that's kind of what I'm playing. You know, I still jumped into Halo every now and then. Jeff and Rebecca, I need to get you in there. And I know, Rebecca, you haven't had a lot of time, so we need to get you in there and kind of playing that a little bit. Still chipping away at Sniper Elite. For some reason, I just keep jumping back into that game. And
you've already killed Hitler. You would think that would be the end of it. But no.
By the way, Rebecca, I have to tell you, the YouTube comments picked up on your very subtle reply last week. So that was well played. It went right over Jeff's head and my head, at least mine. I don't know about you, Jeff.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
well, we were talking about the achievement that I got.
Yes,
which was you know, and I hitting
yes, the family jewels,
right. Yeah. And apparently Rebecca exclaimed, "That's nuts!" And so it went right over my head. And so well played, by the way. I meant to
once again, Rebecca's playing chess, and we're over here playing Parcheesi.
Exactly. So, but the YouTube commenters figured out on that one. Shall we go into some interviews? Rebecca,
go to anywhere?
Yeah, let's go anywhere but here. So, Rebecca, would you help me and get us into interviews, please?
Yeah. Okay. So this week news. I mean, I mentioned it last week, but we had this month is Disability Pride Month. So Larry did a really great interview with Caitlin Jones from the Gaming Accessibility Team. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But other news. Jeff, I know we have, I think it's Tribes of Midgar. Jeff, can you go to that?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about the news a little bit right now. Jeff, do you have that in front of you?
Sure, I do. So Tribes of Midgard is now available for pre-order. It's coming out next month, August 16th. It's developed by Norsefell Games. It looks like a really cool dungeon crawler with a lot of customization and cell shading. And just looking at it, it looks like something I'd be into. It's a co-op game. Action, survival, and roguelite elements. Players defend their village from hordes of invaders, deadly spirits, and gigantic brutes that every night threaten to destroy the seed of Yggdrasil, which is the sacred tree you're sworn to protect. I swear, for like the tree of life, it's constantly under threat, Yggdrasil. You know, right. I mean, just a fence would do wonders in Norse mythology, but they never, Thor's got a hammer, you know. You can use it for nails.
Everything
for
building. Like
yeah. Everything I have to like say, exactly. I love the catchphrases in that trailer. The Sir Thrive together and Ragnarok together. Very clever. I also, I don't know if you guys watched, well, probably not Larry, but I watched Thor Love and Thunder over the weekend. And it was pretty good. And I have to say, I've also watched like an hour of YouTube content just breaking down all the Easter eggs and little. Marvel is just so like, they just put too much stuff into all of their movies. There are always just so many Easter eggs and, oh, this is a reference to this and this is a throwback to that. And I mean, it's really interesting and I'm going to consume all of it, but it's just really time consuming.
Do you find you get tired? Is it exhausting?
I think at this point now, I feel like there are things I'm missing because I'm skipping some parts of the Marvel universe. Right. So I didn't like Moon Knight. And I haven't watched Ms. Marvel yet. And so there, I think that there were a few pieces that I missed. I also fell asleep for a good chunk of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Wow.
So I missed. So there are just, I don't know. I feel like there are things I'm missing in the Marvel universe that I used to be really good at picking up on all the different. So I don't know. Jeff, have you seen it yet?
Rebecca, you've been on the podcast for 2 decades. I mean, it's okay to be a little exhausted. It's fine. I have not seen Love and Thunder. I think that the previous Thor that was directed by Taika Waititi and whose name escapes me right now, was probably the best one of everything. Was it Ragnarok, right? It was Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So, that was maybe the best Marvel movie of all of them. So I'm interested. I've been busy and there's a lot of good TV right now too. So I'll get to it. I'll get to it for sure.
I know.
You know what else is out? Hearing that you're sort of, you've maybe hit a wall with House Flipper. A lot of the games we talked about last week is coming to Xbox Game Pass are now out. So Power Wash Simulator, relaxing. Maybe you don't have to worry so much about hanging wallpaper going back to Lowe's. You can just spray the water at the sidewalk. It looks amazing. Some great kid stuff. Some great kid content for you families out there. My Friend Peppa Pig and Paw Patrol the movie, Adventure City Calls. And then a game called Overwhelm, which is for PC. It's an action horror world platformer, so not for the kids. And all those are out right now. Also interesting combination, something for maybe slightly older kids, is Nickelodeon is teaming up with Smite, which has been going on for a long time as a MOBA. So characters I'm seeing Invader Zim and characters from Ren and Stimpy, Avatar the Last Airbender, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all
SpongeBob.
I don't see SpongeBob in the picture. That would be really cool.
DLC but, coming later.
maybe. I don't let's keep it to the facts here.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Powdered Toast Man is in here, which was basically my SpongeBob. So all is part of Smite, and that's a really cool thing that is I think it's going on right now. Anyway, just announced now. So part of the new Battle Pass and all this stuff. So you can check it out on xboxwirenews.xbox.com. Our good friends over at Undead Labs in downtown Seattle are doing a really cool thing called Mission Undead. And this is all to benefit or bleed to lead. The hashtag is Mission Undead. And it's to benefit the American Red Cross to help generate blood donations, zombies and blood and the blood plague and everything from State of Decay 2. So within the game itself, they've added the blood mobile. It's been in there before, but it's something you can radio for and it will come. And it's a vehicle that seems pretty powerful. So there's that. But then they're going to be doing a charity stream and you can actually sign up to raise money for the American Red Cross. So if you don't want to put a needle in your arm, there's other ways to help. And if you sign up, there's some specifics here. The folks at Undead Lab will send you a shirt with the blood mobile, the in-game blood mobile in there for Mission Undead. So you can check that out at stateofdecay.com. But it's nice when the games have gaming for good. And that's a cool thing to look at. And then lastly, EA Play. They've added some new stuff to the playlist. So some updates to FIFA 22. F1 2021 is now available.
Yep.
It's now in the playlist, formerly known as The Vault. If you're a Game Pass subscriber that has access to EA Play, so if you're an Ultimate member or if you're just part of EA Play. And there's just a lot of other sort of in-game stuff for Grid Legends, Madden, Apex Legends, Battlefield 2042, and FIFA 22. So a lot of stuff there. The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. Game Pass. Awesome. Well, that's some of the news. You know, it's even though it's the middle of the summer, we still have plenty of things to talk about, including some interviews coming up. And Rebecca, if you've got your notes in front of you, then I'm going to hand it to you and you can get us into those interviews that Jeff and I did.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, Larry had a really good chat with Caitlin Jones from the Xbox Gaming Accessibility team. I also chatted with Anita Mortaloni from the Xbox Accessibility team a couple months back, and they're just really doing a lot of awesome work there. You've probably heard of the Xbox Adaptive Controller, but just honestly, there's so much more that the team is working on, and really good to hear directly from her. And then also Jeff, I mentioned it earlier, but he chatted with Caroline Marshall from Interior Night, talking about As Dusk Falls, obviously a lot to talk about there. So let's get into it.
I am joined today by Caitlin Jones, who's a program manager for the gaming accessibility here at Xbox. Caitlin, it is so great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, because this is Disability Pride Month for those folks that aren't aware. But you know, you are an important member of the team, and you worked on some amazing projects like the Xbox Adaptive Controller. But tell us a little bit about how you ended up at Xbox.
Yeah, so it started back when I was in high school. My dad, he's a mechanical engineer by background, but he started volunteering with veterans who were coming home from overseas after having suffered severe injuries like amputations and things like that. And for them, gaming was really, really important. So to lose that ability to game because the standard controller wasn't accessible was something that he wanted to help fix. So he actually started creating modifications and hardwiring a bunch of buttons out of standard controllers so these folks could play again. And it eventually turned into a full-on nonprofit called Warfighter Engaged. And kind of from a young age, seeing the power of gaming to heal and bring people together and bring that sense of community was super powerful and important for me. So I actually decided I wanted to work with the disability community directly. I went to school for occupational therapy. And then, you know, around that time, serendipity sort of happened, and Xbox saw the work that our nonprofit was doing, and they brought us in for a hackathon, and that eventually became the Xbox Adaptive Controller. So it was really through all of those moments that I got to see what Xbox does for accessibility, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I'm very fortunate.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. I know that, you know, the Xbox Adaptive Controller launched a few years ago, but I know that it has helped many, many people make gaming accessible for them. And accessibility means a lot of things, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But you know, it's, were you and your dad gamers when you were growing up? Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, it's funny because I like to call our gaming style the original co-pilot, where even when I was really little, he used to play PC games and I would sit on his lap and he would let me do like the space bar and, you know, very simple controls while he handled the rest of, you know, the controls in the game that we were playing. So I've always been a huge gamer, even from when I was really, really little. So to kind of see us be able to work together throughout all the years on something that we, you know, had a connection with from very early has just been really great.
I mean, it is amazing to see how you took gaming and your occupational therapy background and kind of merge them together, not just to, you know, for you as a career, but to help people around the world. That is pretty amazing. Tell us what this, you know, what the Disability Pride Month means to you, because this is the first time that Xbox is being involved with it. Tell us what it means to you.
Yeah, I think for me, as someone who also has multiple invisible disabilities, I've always kind of felt this tendency to hide those parts of who I am, you know, maybe in fear that other people knowing those things about me may perceive it negatively or, you know, have a negative impact on my relationships or career. And just through seeing the amazing disability community uplift each other in moments like this and all year round and celebrate themselves over the years, it's kind of given me the courage to do the same, I think, in embracing those parts of who I am and seeing them not as a deficit, but rather as things that make me unique. And they give us these really different perspectives, you know, our disabilities, when it comes to creating various gaming experiences, and has also just really served as a driving force in making sure that, you know, in my role, that we uplift the rest of the voices of our disability community members, because I'm just one person with one experience, but we all have so many different experiences to share with game creators and developers to make those experiences better and more accessible for everyone.
You know, I'm sure, you know, many people that listen to the show, and yourself and myself included and the rest of the team, we've heard Phil say, when everybody plays, we all win. And that to me is such a great, that means so many things, but especially for the area that you work on. I'd like to ask you a little bit, because, you know, I don't have as much exposure to this as you do. You're the expert. That's why you're here. But tell us the difference between disability and accessibility, because I think people may not understand what the differences are.
Yeah, that's a really great question that we get often. I think disability is typically more about the individual person and their day-to-day experiences. And a lot of people identify very differently with their disabilities. Some really consider it at the forefront of who they are. It's part of their gamer tag. You know, it's a very huge part of our identity, whereas others, not as much. But at the end of the day, disability centers on the person. Whereas I think, on the other hand, accessibility is more so focused on addressing any of the external factors or barriers that really interfere with that person's ability to go to the places they want to go or engage in the activities they want.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way. I mean, that's, first of all, thank you for that explanation, because I know a lot of people, myself included, kind of really didn't understand, but you explained it so eloquently that I understand it. But, you know, it's got to be really exciting for you to work on this product with Xbox, like the adaptive controller, which is one of the products you worked on, to be able to bring this joy of gaming to people that, unfortunately, prior to this recognition, maybe weren't able to take advantage of everything that gaming has to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very powerful to see that. And even in my early career, bringing gaming to, folks in clinical settings with disabilities, it has a lot of power that a lot of folks don't realize. Even if, you know, my client themselves wasn't a gamer, maybe they were older, never played games, but the ability for them to access gaming to play with their grandchildren and have that fun during, you know, a rather arduous rehabilitation period is just so powerful. So it's been great.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you talk about that, and people who, you know, using a lot of the tools that our team and many other people around the world have used to allow the make sure that gaming is accessible for everyone. But it's also the fact that gaming does provide therapy. So if you can't do this, you can't get that level of therapy. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because in the therapy space, we talk about, you know, how we could make things harder so people get better and stronger and able to do the things they want. So, you know, I might make a game setup really difficult for that person to press. So they're, you know, making sure they're moving a bunch when trying to hit the buttons they need to hit to not die or get killed in the game or whatever. And then on the other hand, you have accessibility, which is, okay, let's make this as easy and comfortable as possible so someone can play for as long as they want. So that ability to meet in the middle is just really exciting.
And I have to tell you, you know, as a dad, your dad must be so proud of you and the work you're doing. I mean, you took something that was a passion of you and your dad's, and of course your dad went off and was working on that amazing the amazing nonprofit Warfighters Engaged. But to be able to come to a company like Microsoft and in a area such as gaming create such an impact, thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of everybody that's out there. Your dad must be so thrilled.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. I'd like to think so.
Trust me, I'm sure he is. Hey, I know that you've got it going a little bit. Before you let you go, could we talk about, there's a live stream event taking place later this month in July. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we'll actually be having a special disability pride celebration on July 26th, and it'll be at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Mm-hmm. We'll be featuring a special guest from Warfighter Engaged. You might be able to guess who that is. It is. So that secret's out on that one. Yeah. And then we'll also be having a live gameplay session with some creators in Minecraft.
Right. Oh, that's great to do that. And that's, again, Disability Pride Month. Xbox is recognizing it with a lot of the great work Caitlin, that you do and the rest of the team does. And I know it's not just you. You just happen to be here. There's a, you know, this is something that all across the Xbox org, we all work on and we all think about every single day. And it's not something that we, it's not something that we just kind of do and walk away from. It is now ingrained in our DNA, right? It's something that is just absolutely part of our day to life. So Caitlin, I really appreciate you taking the time today. We're going to look for you on July 26th, right? At 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
And tune in if you want to see Caitlin's beaming dad, who's going to be so excited to, I'm sure, to play with you. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
As we talked about, I'm very excited to be joined by Caroline Marshall, who is the CEO and creative director of Interior Night. And you're joining us from London. How are things going? You're launching in just a couple of days.
I'm excited and nervous. Hello, hello. Very pleased to be here.
So let's talk about you and the studio you've created, Interior Night. You personally have had a major hand in some of the most innovative narrative games that have ever been made. I enjoyed, going back a little ways, Fahrenheit. It was called Indigo Prophecy in the U.S. Yes. Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls. And let me tell you, we're very happy to have you working on an Xbox title this time. So I've read that this is the game you've always wanted to make. Why is that?
Well, it started for me like 8 years ago when I moved on from Quantic Dream. I arrived in this country and I thought like, okay, where do I want to try and push the boundaries of narrative games next? And for me, the key thing was like offering a super mature and grounded story that you usually not necessarily see in games, but that you watch on TV, because this is where the best narrative is right now for long form narrative. And then the other thing that I was really interested in is that to offer players a way to enjoy this complex story together and share it. So I really designed from the ground up As Dusk Falls for multiplayer and to be as approachable as possible in terms of mechanics and controls. So that you can play, you know, with your phone as a input device, or you can play with a mouse or with a controller, so that nobody worries about, you know, how many buttons, which button I should press, what time. It's not about your thumbs. It's about like engaging your emotions, your heart, and your guts.
All right, so a couple of things to dive deeply into here. I'd mentioned Heavy Rain before, and that was the first game I played with my wife when we really first started to get together. And it was me holding the controller. She's not very comfortable with the controller, but helping me make decisions very quickly. And we've been beginning to play. We're early on. We played the first chapter and change of As Dusk Falls, and now she does have a controller in her hand, and she feels very comfortable doing it. And it's been very fun. There's a couple of different angles we'll talk about here. I don't know that I've ever seen a narrative game have this many ways to play with other people. It was clearly a focus. So just why was that so important to the team? It seems like it was fundamental to really how the game came together.
It was indeed, because like sharing the story, an interactive story, is just so powerful. Like I'm hoping you have like interesting conversations with your wife about your decision making. So you know, it's like it takes you out of the mundane everyday life, like who's going to get the groceries, who's going to get the kids from school. It's really about talking about important subject matters like family, resilience, sacrifice. Start over by moving country, what's best for your daughter right now, you're going to stay married, but also the big choices, like who you're going to save from the hostage situation, who's going to survive, who's going to make it or not. So it's all these layers and these interesting decisions that is so nice to talk about and discuss with people you love, your friends, your partner, you know, your family. That's really what passionates us. So we try to go to the players. So that's why the game can be played solo, but multiplayer as well, on the couch, online, or a mix, cross-platform. You can also enjoy it on xCloud with just your phone and it's input touch native, or you know, or even on Twitch with many, many more people. And that was really part of that, you know, wanting people to share these amazing journeys with relatable and human characters. And as they do so, as you play through, you discover interesting things about yourself. What are your core values? What you stand for?
Yeah, and in fact, when you finish a chapter, there's obviously you're usually hitting like a high tension point, a cliffhanger. But then, yeah, as we see here, you actually rate the players, and I found that my wife and I, we were agreeing more than expected, and I wonder if we were saying, okay, maybe either one, we've been together for a long time, or if it's like, were we influencing each other? And there were a couple of times where I was like, oh, you think that? Okay, I guess let's see what happens here. But there were definite times where like, we're just going to, and it goes, if you have an even number of people, it will then choose randomly between the two. And I thought that was really interesting. So one of the things that I'd referenced some previous games, such as Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain, and something that in my playthrough of As Dusk Falls, but also with the sort of non-interactive narrative fiction that you had sort of referenced, something that you do really well is ratchet up the pressure and really like create stakes very quickly. And I found you were making more decisions than I expected. This was not something where I was just sort of like relaxing and occasionally picking up the controller. So talk about, I would say, your, just sort of the goal in terms of making this feel, I'd say, more interactive than your average interactive fiction that I've played, at least.
Yeah, it's really been conceived as a leaning in experience. Like, you know, it's not like you're watching a game, you're actually playing it. So every 20 seconds on average, you've got a decision to make or an interaction to do. So you can't really relax and just forget about it. And that was really important for us because, first of all, we want the flow of the story to be lifelike. There's no game over. So, you know, the story never stops. We never tell you, wrong choice, do again. Or you fail this quick time event, do again. Whatever you do, the story carries on. And that actually adds weight to your decisions because you know you'll have to live with the consequences of your choices, really. And that was really, really important because under pressure, people reveal their true character. So, and that's what I'm interested in, like, you know, knowing, like, for you to find out, like, interesting insights about yourself by playing it.
You definitely will. And those decisions, you figure out how many there are when you hit the end of a chapter. So not only do you get rated, but you get to see this entire intertwined matrix of all the decisions and what they could have led to, and go back and explore some of those if you choose to. We see a good shot of that here. It's incredibly complex. And I started thinking, like, if you laid all of these different alternate and that's even just in one chapter. I can only imagine how it expands out beyond. There must have been like five or six or more games worth of dialogue and art and mocap and all these things that you all had to produce that most people will not see in a single playthrough. So, how did you keep all of this straight and have it make sense at the end?
Well, that's the tough part. Like, we wrote like 12 movies, the equivalent of 12 movies, but like, wow. It's even like, even for us, like, every playthrough is kind of new because the story is quite modular. So we don't know what players will craft, and we just give them this big narrative space, which still makes it, you know, it's every branch is crafted, it's offered. It's not a sandbox. Obviously, you navigate the story, but you make it your own by making your own decisions. And that's the beauty of it. That's why the branching is here. It's not to show off, oh, there's 50, 100 endings. Like, I don't care. What matters is that at the end, you've crafted your own story and that you're happy or that you feel satisfied with the character's fate.
So you're in Europe developing this, or in the UK, and this game takes place in like the U.S. desert Southwest. What drew you to that setting and those people, so distant?
I think it was, first of all, it was the beauty of nature and the landscape. We've been to Arizona in 2018, 4 years ago, and it was just like wonderful. The big winds, the big sky. It's perfect for a character study, actually, because you've got this motel in the middle of the desert, and these two families colliding there, their destiny collide there. So it's like a neo-Western, really. So Arizona was a great setting for that. And the landscape is a canvas. But what you'll really influence is these characters and how they change and grow under pressure.
So, yeah, it's the type of place where you might drive by at 80 miles an hour under normal circumstances. But when you actually, you know, stop, it's interesting to see the stories that could develop there. I would not want to be staying at the Desert Dream Motel in those particular circumstances. But that's why we get to experience the game. I've read that you've played through As Dusk Falls in development so many times that you're kind of like, okay, now it's time to get that out there. But what have you been playing, or have you had the chance to play anything, or is there anything you've been really looking forward to finally diving into once you ship next week?
Oh, you mean over games?
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, I want to finish Norco because I thought it was fantastic. I'm like 2/3 in. And I want to finish Unpacking, which I'm almost done with. These are two gems, like, and so unique. I want to play Immortality as well, Sambalo's next game. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be intriguing, very intriguing. And yeah, I think I should go through my library and check what else, but there's probably been tons of games there. It's been a journey. So I'm glad I'm so proud of what we've put together. And I'm glad I'm going to have a bit of rest and hopefully listen. I'm just eager to hear about what the players will think, because every time I play with someone, even someone I don't know, you know, we got so interesting conversations. It's so nice. It's so unique, really.
Well, you're going to get to see this game be played in front of perhaps the largest crowd that you've seen yet, because tonight you're coming down to LA. I guess you're taking the Concorde. It's going to be a very quick flight, but we're going to be playing with Kind of Funny in Hollywood, and that's going to be a really cool event. And they're going to be streaming next week as well for those who are not able to sort of eliminate engagement tonight, one night only, but they'll be streaming for the next couple of weeks, and we'll be seeing everyone else stream and review and everything else next week. So we're very excited to see how everyone else experiences sort of the interaction, especially through Twitch. I think that's going to be really cool. We know the chat is, they're going to make choices that maybe you would not make for yourself, is my prediction. I guess we will see that. So any last things that you want to say before launch? Is there any last things you want to make sure that the audience knows about As Dusk Falls and your journey here?
I guess, like, for me, the one takeaway I would like is that, you know, we crafted this game to make it like a compelling story. You can play with people you love. So play with your wife, your partner, your family, you know, and just have fun and enjoy.
I can vouch for that. Definitely a game you're going to want to experience with folks that maybe they're not even into games, and they're going to be able to find a way to play in a way where they're going to be very comfortable. So Caroline Marshall, thanks so much for thinking of the gamer who doesn't think of themselves as a gamer to be able to help all of us enjoy the game that much more, and wishing you the best of luck with launch.
Yes, because we're all gamers, and thank you so much.
Thank you again to Caroline and Caitlin for coming on and chatting with us. You guys did great in those interviews, and I definitely want to play As Dusk Falls. It looks really cool.
So we have something just for you. You indicated you're going to want to be playing the multiplayer version. I know your roommate is not the world's biggest gamer. Super nice. I met her. It was great. Yeah. But probably not the world's biggest gamer. Well, how is she going to play? What are the different options? And there are many options. So we work together with the team from Interior Night to put together the comprehensive list of all the different ways you can play, whether you're sitting down on a couch and playing next to your roommate, or you're a Twitch streamer and you want to be able to play with chat. It's all there over on news.xbox.com. It's literally called Here's Everything You Need to Know About As Dusk Falls Multiplayer, but also accessibility features, of which that was also a priority for the Interior Night team and for Xbox in general. So, you'll be able to check all of that stuff out, and everyone should be able to enjoy this game, whether they're a core gamer or they're just playing with, you know, somebody on cloud for the first time.
Yeah. It'll be a good time. Well, that's great, because I mean, I think that we take it for granted, like just the native, like holding a controller and being able to like use it so well, because sometimes I'll like hand a friend a controller and be like, oh, here, can you sign me or something? And they'll be like,
This thing to non-gamers can be frightening. There's all these buttons and triggers, and how do I hold? I mean, it's seriously, we as people that have been in the gaming industry and raised on gamers, and those watching us, this can be really kind of daunting.
I will say that for someone, let's say you do like me, I got a wall full of controllers, and so more likely to use the controllers than the app. And my wife does not play multi-camera games or anything like that. It's not going to ask you to like very quickly hit like B and then X and then Y. Like you're not, because not
no quick
like,
timing.
It's ingrained in my brain exactly where those buttons are. That's not the case for, you know, most people on the planet. And just usually just hit A button is fine. Right. There are some directional ones where you would hit left or right, but everyone left is left pretty universally. So they've thought of that. So you can still, if you'd rather play on a phone, you can absolutely do that too. I just really think it was very thoughtful how they're appealing to as many people as possible, everything from the concept of the game to how you'll control it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Great, Jeff. Cause like I was saying, this can be so daunting. And I'm sure anybody, maybe you've seen this with your roommate, Rebecca. I know I've seen it with my wife. So you hand them control, say, here, press the A button. And it's, you know, they're looking at the screen there. So they get, cause they're not used to it. So I'm so thrilled that the team there, and that kind of dovetails nicely with the, you know, with Disability Pride and that interview I had with Caitlin. There's some great information again at news.xbox.com, which talks about, and I'm looking at it right now, like the family gaming database, which tells you, hey, here's a way you can remap, you know, it's a whole bunch of games and how to best remap it for you. And things like that. And games that have, you know, disability and neurodiversity, you know, communities and so forth around that. And it was really interesting because, you know, I know Jeff, you haven't had a chance to listen to the interview yet. Or Rebecca, but it's, you know, when I asked her about what's the difference between accessibility and disability, she had such a lovely answer because a lot of people don't really know the difference. Mm-hmm. So great to talk to her about that. So I'll put a link to that as well to that blog post as well. But news.xbox.com is where you need to go. So, All right, gang. I think that brings us to the end of another stellar show, another two decades of work. So
I know. Time to get that gold watch.
On my resume. Yeah.
So, all right, we'll be back next week. We've got some more interviews lined up. We're working on one for Forza. Rebecca and Jeff, thank you for taking time out of your days as always. And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye, everybody.